Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
everybody's had a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right
to Bible you, pages, but you can pretend too. Like you will. The dog.
Wow.
Sad episode. I don't like this.
It's gonna be a kid.
I don't like it.
Really bad.
It's terrible.
It's sad.
It's sketchy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hiya.
Quinnies. This episode. Oh my God. I apologize right up top if you're having a great day and then you just sat down to listen to this episode of the show. Mm-mm. Right up top, just warning right at the beginning, this episode contains descriptions of child abuse, neglect, and such infuriating government agency incompetence that I don't even recommend driving or operating heavy machinery because you will become so enraged.
I'm at a loss.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So this is a listener request. Gabrielle, thank you very much, Gabrielle, but also what the hell?
Gabrielle.
It's definitely needs more awareness, but thanks a lot for this. And we are covering the disappearance of Harmony Montgomery, Quinnies. So for those of you who don't know, and I did not know, I had absolutely no idea who she was.
Nor I. Yeah, I didn't know about this case.
She would be 8 years old today, but she has not been seen in the last 2.5 years. This is, without a doubt, one of the saddest cases that I have ever researched. First of all, we do not know when this child went missing.
Nope.
We have a window of time. That's it. Next, she is the victim of documented and undisputed child abuse before she disappeared. And finally, she was just failed by
everyone.
Single agency that was supposed to support her and be there for her.
And her own family.
And her own family.
Literally.
Nobody stepped up for this kid. Nobody.
It's awful.
So tonight we're going to take you through the timeline of events surrounding her disappearance, the warning signs that were ignored, the child abuse that went unchecked, and where her case stands today. I'm going to do my best to refrain from yelling, but I can't speak for all of us, Quinnies.
Nope.
Because this case
I'll try not to yell.
I am making absolutely no promises. I will probably yell. So
little Harmony Montgomery was born in June of 2014 in Massachusetts. In all of the coverage of this case, I cannot locate this child's birthday or her birthplace outside of a month and a year and a state.
See, already we're not. I don't like it.
Like, I'm not sure if that's because
it's
not available or people truly don't know when she was born.
It's already a sign of neglect. It really is.
Just maybe there's a tiny possibility they don't want children information out there. Like, do I want my son's date of birth and everything out there necessarily? No.
Right.
If he was missing, get it all out there. Get it all out there. But unfortunately, with everything else that we know about the case and that the listeners will find out, like, it just already speaks to me red flags.
Yep. Already from the beginning. So when she was born, she was in the care of her mother, Crystal Sorey. Is that how you say it? Sorey?
I think so. Yeah.
Harmony's father, Adam Montgomery, was incarcerated at the time that Harmony was born. Adam has an extensive violent criminal past that we will get into later. But he was in prison when she was born. So she went home to just mom. She was born blind in her right eye with her vision compromised in her left. And the doctors told Crystal, like, she's going to be severely disabled for the rest of her life. But she defied expectations as she grew up and she actually did really well. So as an infant, Harmony was removed from her mother, Crystal, when she was 2 months old and put into the custody of the Massachusetts Department of Children children and families, which we're going to talk a lot about, DCF. She was put into the custody of this agency, and they placed her in foster care after reports of drug abuse in the home. So someone anonymously reported Crystal. Government services got involved, took the child out of the home. So since Massachusetts DCF has released their full report on Harmony Montgomery, we know now that DCF was receiving reports that Crystal was neglecting Harmony since she was a newborn. So this is not, by the time they take her at 2 months, there have been multiple phone calls to this agency saying something's going on, the child's being neglected, there's drug abuse in the home.
Do we know at all if she was born with drugs in her system?
There's no indication that she was born addicted. We don't know that. And if she was, I don't know if they would tell us.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have, as the story progresses, like there are situations when she's pregnant where there's drugs around. So I imagine.
I was just wondering, because that would mean they already had a child protective services case.
Yes. I had an eye on her. Yeah. That makes sense. So probably, maybe.
Yeah.
So Crystal's in and out of treatment programs for substance abuse. She continues to struggle with drug addiction, obviously. And after Harmony is removed, Crystal learns she has the opportunity to get Harmony back if she completes treatment, random drug testing, and supervised visits with Harmony, basically where she can be watched with the kid, just basically to prove that she can be a parent in any capacity. So after 4 months in DCF care in the foster home, she is given back to her mother conditionally, but still legally in the custody of family services. So this is kind of like a trial run period. They don't just give you the child back and give you custody.
I mean, is 4 months long enough? That's a question.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go right with
that. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that is already just a sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad.
This is September 2014. The Massachusetts DCF mails Harmony's father, Adam, a parenting and anger management treatment program and informs him of Harmony's current medical and special needs. He eventually responds and he expressed support to the agency for Harmony to stay in Crystal's care, to be returned full-time into Crystal's care. And he requested visitation with Harmony because remember, he has not met her at this point. So we know that Harmony visited Adam in prison in January of 2015. This is the first time that she's ever met her father. And Crystal, during this time, is complying with a treatment program, but she only does that for a few months and then she falls off. And Harmony is again taken out of the home when she's 10 months old due to reports of neglect and Crystal's total inability to complete the steps necessary to keep her in the house. And so she's back in foster care, second time, same foster family. So this is June of 2015. They have what's called a foster care review panel. Those are all over the story. They, you know, are constantly evaluating the child's in the foster care situation. What's going to happen? Are they intending to be adopted? Are they intending to go home? They do this panel. I think it's like every, I don't know, 4 months or something, like four times a year, three times a year or whatever. They do this panel to discuss Harmony's case. They concluded that the goal for her journey in the foster care system was eventual reunification with her mother. But then in July of 2015, they change Harmony's goal to adoption because now they're realizing, okay, wait a minute. Even if her mother does get it together, she has spent 7 months in the first year of her life out of her mother's care. So they feel that that's significant enough to say this child has no attachment.
Right.
To their mother, and the mother can't provide a stable home for them anyway. So we need to get them into a stable home.
Totally.
A judge issues an order, says that Harmony is in need of government care and protection, and he makes DCF Harmony's permanent guardian. Permanent custody is now awarded to the government. This isn't really permanent, though, because parents and legal guardians can still petition the court every 6 months to review the case and have the child put back in their care. So it's not permanent. They say it's permanent, but it isn't. It's only just the default is that the government has custody. That's it. So at the end of the same month, now her goal's been changed to adoption. She visits her father in prison for the second time. This is the second time she's ever seen her dad. And at this time, the caseworker that's there supervising the visit and accompanying Harmony finds out from Adam he's expected to be released in September of 2015. So this is less than 2 months from this visit. And he was released in September. And when he was released, he left Massachusetts, moved to New Hampshire, and did not contact Department of Child and Family Services again until September of 2016.
Red flags.
So just remember this, Quinice, okay? Yeah. Not there when she was born, not a part of her life for as long as she's been alive, has had two supervised visits with her, expresses interest in knowing her, gets out of jail, gone for a year.
Does not.
Yeah, total absent father, absentee father, yep. Like totally absentee.
So you have to remember this, Quinice, met her twice in a supervised prison setting. He's released, moves out of state, no attempt to contact. Okay.
Now, granted, right out of prison, no, he wouldn't be able to immediately take her on. He doesn't need a stable home, a job, yada, yada, yada. So that, fine. But that does not mean you can't contact, call, have visits that entire time.
Yeah, no. Really, he's ignoring the agency because they are trying to reach out to him.
Right. It's sketch.
Ignoring it.
It's super sketch.
So then we get the June 2016 foster care panel. And it comes out that Crystal, again, is not fully participating in the tasks necessary to get her daughter back. She's not regularly attending therapy or substance abuse treatment. She's missed several supervised visits with Harmony. And DCF has heard nothing from Adam. Nothing. So they keep her goal adoption, keep it as it is. The birth parents are not participating here, you know? Not at all in the case of Adam and not enough in the case of Crystal. So nothing they can do. Still on the path to adoption. Then September 2016, Adam calls DCF and is like, hey, haven't talked to you in a year.
Remember me?
I'm living in New Hampshire with my girlfriend, Kayla. I'm sober. I'm working full time and I want to be a part of Harmony's life. And DCF says, great, why don't you come in for a meeting? And he does in October of 2016. And after this visit, he has his third supervised visit with Harmony, who is now 2 years old. Third time that she's seen her dad, she's two. Okay.
I'm sorry. She's been in foster care for so long and her goal has been eventual adoption already for what, a year?
A year.
Why wasn't she just already adopted?
Why wasn't she already adopted? And why are you prioritizing the birth father who's just now coming out of the woodwork?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's all sorts of ass backwards.
It is. I understand they want to keep biological families together as much as possible, but this is not it.
No. Right. And like, exactly. And it's frustrating because why is no one taking those signs yet?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Like, why is no one taking it serious?
So they create a plan for supervised visits between Adam and Harmony between October of 2016 and February 2017. Adam frequently misses these visits, saying he has transportation issues. He has family issues, but he does manage to make it to one supervised visit per month. That's what the Child and Family Services report says. He saw her once a month, basically, in a supervised setting. These visits include this one particular detail that ends up being a pretty big red flag. They say that he is highly attentive to her during these visits, but he shows, quote, inappropriate expectations or responses given her age. Mm-hmm. And this comes up again and again. And I'm not really sure what that means. Like, it could be expecting her to behave more grown up than she was, right? Because she's two. Mm-hmm. It's unclear, but I don't like that.
Don't like it at all. It's controlling.
Yeah. It's control.
He wants control.
I feel like anytime someone says inappropriate in the context of a kid, I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
What?
Rewind.
What?
Like, yeah.
So while this is happening, Crystal is making progress. She's making her visits now consistently. She's attending a parenting class. And in February of 2017, in light of her progress and the fact that Adam is somehow, by some miracle, making it to one visit a month, they change her goal from adoption back to reunification based on Crystal's renewed commitment and her sobriety. And a month later, Harmony Montgomery is again conditionally returned to her mother, Crystal, but still legal custody of DCF.
She's a volleyball. Like, she's a freaking volleyball in a damn volleyball game.
How many times can we change her status? Like, literally, what are we doing?
It's so bad. For this
it
kid.
Is bad.
What and is how, this kid? How is this kid ever going to to form the necessary foundational knowledge that she needs if she is literally just being shuttled from person to person, custody
and the
to custody?
Poor foster family, like, I'm sure they care for her.
Mm-hmm. They do. They do. You know? They're actually heroes in this story.
Yeah.
So she goes back to Crystal, and Adam just stops responding to DCF altogether. They send him a comprehensive assessment. He ignores it. He makes no effort to find out what's going on with Harmony. So DCF finally is like, ask Crystal, have you heard from Adam or has he contacted you? We can't get a hold of him. And she says, oh yeah, I let him speak to Harmony on the phone just like last week. And DCF is like, Crystal, no contact. Harmony should not be having contact with her father unsupervised.
Right.
Doesn't even matter if you're on the phone. DCF has to be involved. The child is in government custody.
Right.
You can't do that.
It's also interesting because a lot of the time with like custody battles and stuff, the parents that are warring, they're warring because they don't want the other parent to have custody.
Okay? Right.
So normally in this situation, not that it's good, but he would be even trying even harder once
to
Crystal
be a better dad
on the scene.
Yes.
To get the custody. Yes. And once she's back on the scene, he ghosts. So it's very weird.
It really is.
Like that's, it's strange.
It's drugs. It's drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's drugs. And I think it is, I'm just thinking about this because I was working on Henry Wallace this afternoon, but it's no impulse control. He's just all over the place. Like I'm in her life. I'm not in her life. I live in New Hampshire. I work full time or I live in a car. Like it's just,
all over the place.
We get to May. So she went back to the home in March of 2017. We stop hearing from Adam. In May of 2017, Crystal is again in a meeting with DCF and she says, oh yeah, Adam calls sometimes and I let him talk to Harmony on the phone. And they're like, Crystal,
we said no.
Yeah.
Put your listening ears on.
Oh my God.
Stop. It's bad. Stop it. And also tell Adam to call us because we still haven't heard from him and he's not responding.
So and is it even happening?
And later Carly, he denies that he ever received any communication from them. But like, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's a crock of shit. It's a crock of shit.
I just don't believe him. Like, I just don't believe him. So then we're into September of 2017. DCF gets a hold of Adam and he tells them, oh, yeah, yeah. I've been having regular overnights with Harmony. I pick her up on Friday and then I drop her off at her mom's house at Crystal's on Sunday.
Great.
DCF You have got to be kidding me right now. Like they have repeatedly told this woman, not okay, don't do it. And she's doing it like even worse than they even knew.
And now we just don't know. And now who knows? Now who knows how often he has her, for how long? It's
in what condition?
Right.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
The DCF contacts Crystal and says, listen, we have told you repeatedly that you should not be doing this. She should not be speaking to Adam. And Crystal says that Adam threatened her and said, I will get sole custody of Harmony if you do not provide me with visitation. She said that he forced her into doing it. I don't know, Quinny.
I don't know either. Yeah, like I'm just on the fence about it. I'm on the fence about that.
Because he is, they meet with him around this time and he's basically irritated and pissed off the whole time about, I hate supervised visits. Why should I have to be supervised with my child? I never messed up her home situation. I was in jail.
Right.
But she never got taken away from me.
He's obviously very much trying to go against the system. Like he wants to rebel against the system and not do what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So he's seeing her on his own terms, however he wants, you know,
playing by his own rules. Just being like, I don't have to listen to you. I'll see my daughter whenever I want. She's my daughter. And he's already making a case for like, she got taken away from her mom, not from me. So I shouldn't be subject to this shit. DCF says, we understand your frustration, Mr. Montgomery. We would love it if we could set up another supervised visit schedule for you with your daughter. That's what we can offer you. And maybe you'll show up this time. And he again rejects it. And he does not visit with her under DCF supervision for a full year.
Just gone.
So again,
like poof. Honestly, you can't trust what either one of them says because they're so deep in the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, they can't be trusted. It's unfortunate. And I don't want to put that stereotype over them, but it really is. They become totally dishonest because they're users.
They're consumed by it.
Yeah.
So this is, but do you see what's going on here, Quinny? Because the official report, report that I base this research on, the report of the Office of the Child Advocate, they have no way of knowing when Adam was actually seeing this child.
Right. Right.
Like we have the record, but mom is already saying, I give the baby to him unsupervised all the time.
Yeah.
After this meeting with Adam, DCF gets two separate reports of neglect by both Crystal and Adam. All of these reports are concerning these unsupervised visits Crystal let Adam have with Harmony while he's in her care. So something's going on. There's two separate reports. They're both being accused of neglect, and it's got something to do with this like under the table custody arrangement that they have going on. DCF investigates and confirms that Harmony is being neglected without a doubt. Again, she is removed from the home in January 2018 when she's 3.5 years old.
It's like Quinny said earlier, like she's already lost all those crucial years. Already just no stability, no stable parents or family in the most crucial years of the child's life.
It's so horrible.
And 3.5 years old, what? How many times?
Four.
Like
she's been taken out of the home four times, people.
Yeah, it's bad. Mm-hmm. She's 3.5 now and has been dragged so much.
Trauma.
And she goes to the same foster family, and they kind of remind me of Jalik's foster parents a little bit. They went to DCF like on this, like upon receiving Harmony again, they went to DCF and actually lodged a formal complaint saying that they believe that Harmony was being traumatized by repeated reunification with her parents. They were like, there are like, they can see the signs in the child that she is not coping with this.
Well,
at all.
Exactly.
I can't even imagine. It's so bad. But why is the foster family the one who's bringing that up?
I know.
Like you guys couldn't think of that. Like you couldn't think of like, maybe this would be bad. Like maybe it won't be good for her development. Like
they have to meet with the child and see the child like emotional state, behavior.
I feel like they just only pay a certain amount of mind to it. And then they just don't pay much more attention to it past that. They look at the case. They know the case. If they're familiar with it, but it's just exactly, it's just another one in 25 different cases that they're working at the same time.
200.
So it, exactly.
One
so
of them had 200 cases she was working on.
And when the goal is constantly going back and forth between
exactly
the reunification, it's
what
like,
are we doing?
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is not, you know, an evolving document. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is a child. This is not a changing, like the situation may be changing, but it's still the kid.
Yeah. Yes. It's outrageous.
Yes. Like I said, nothing from Adam for one whole year. And when he decides to contact DCF again, he has supervised visits with Harmony again, who is now 4 years old. In these notes, again, so we saw this when she was two. Now we're seeing it when she's four. It is noted that he is attentive, but did not have age-appropriate expectations or responses to her. What
so
is this?
Weird. Yeah, so weird. It's what Quinny said. It's exactly what Quinny said. It's some kind of control shit.
Mm-hmm. It creeps me out.
And I don't wonder if there's even an element of like, I'm your daddy. You have to love me. Like, why aren't you?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Quinny.
So girlfriend Kayla is now wife Kayla. Okay. So she's married this Casanova. Kayla knows how to pick them. Let me tell you.
Good job, Kayla.
Definitely. Like you definitely want to be getting married to the guy can't show up to his supervised visits with his child who he never knew because he was in prison.
Yeah.
Went great. Cool.
Good.
Awesome.
Cool.
Nice. Love it. Congratulations, Kayla.
Good job. Great.
So she's also attending these visits with him, but there is no documentation of her interactions with Harmony, just Adam's interactions with Harmony, which again, that's just bad record keeping.
Yeah. You aren't kidding.
Because we have no idea how she behaved. So cool. Yeah. She's being exposed to the kid and we have no idea. Cool. Great. In the meantime, Crystal petitions the court for Harmony to come home again, but this time Adam does it too. And both of their hearings are scheduled for February of 2019. In the last foster care panel, in 2018, right before these hearings. They note again that Crystal is unstable in her sobriety and her visits with Harmony, while Adam is regularly visiting with Harmony and is providing proof of his sobriety. So
do
the
you
panel,
want a sticker, Adam? Would you like a sticker?
Seriously.
A gold star.
Would you like a pat on the back?
Doing the bare minimum.
They gave him more than that. Quinny's, they changed Harmony's goal from reunification with her mother to reunification with her father, Adam.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad news, Bears. I can't.
Okay, so first of all, it's not reunification because they've never been united. So
thank you.
Grammatically exactly. Speaking, wrong word.
Putting
so
that out
literally
there,
not the correct, like not the word, not
like,
it.
It's incorrect. It. It's just everything wrong. About it is just wrong.
Dead wrong.
You did wrong. So February 2019, the hearings. Crystal doesn't show up to her hearing because she's in court on a care protection case involving one of Harmony's half siblings. Oh yeah, Quinny's. There are other kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That are involved in this situation. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Harmony because she's missing, but there are other kids that are wrapped up in this whole thing. So the court just proceeds without her. And this is where I am going
well,
to
have she did ask to get it rescheduled due to her having a thing.
The conflict.
So, like, she tried.
She did. She did. So I'm just going to try and... I'm going to try to remain calm. I'm going to be like a flight attendant during turbulence, Quinny. So I'm just going to sit back and just try to just calm it down.
Deep breaths. Take deep breaths.
Because this is where I start to get very upset. So Adam, at this hearing, sought immediate custody of Harmony and said that he planned to take her to New Hampshire. And the DCF attorney immediately objected because they did not have all of the relevant information that they needed to know if Harmony can even go to Adam, if he could even care for her needs. So it's revealed in court that DCF has not been able, at this point, at this hearing, DCF had not been able to substantiate his housing or his employment stability. There had been no exploration of his parental fitness to care for Harmony. Neither attorney, Adams nor DCF, asked about Adams' understanding of Harmony's visual impairment, her behavioral or medical needs, her special education services, or the physical safety of his home. No one. The record is completely silent.
Like, and, what the fuck? Okay.
Okay. And despite all of that, on no information whatsoever, the judge awarded Adam, who lives out of state, full custody of Harmony and concluded that the report, remember the report that they sent him that he completely ignored, the personal assessment, that's why they're saying we don't have the documentation, we don't even know if he's actually fit to be a parent. The court concluded that that report is not necessary. Oh, and then the judge also terminated the government care and protection order that had been put in place by the previous judge, and DCF was immediately removed from Harmony's case.
It's not good. Do we have the judge's name, please? And thank you.
It's sealed.
The judge's name is sealed.
Oh, it's sealed.
What a douche ass hat.
I am going to, I need it because I need to email him every day. I would like to call his office every day. Thank you.
20 times a day.
At least. 37 times a day.
Okay. And we're going to forward this entire episode to this office. But how can you justify any of that, but then also completely removing DCF?
That's a whole other step that never had to be, that never had to be added.
That's straight danger zone.
That is
straight danger zone.
Reckless.
No one, absolutely no one at the Massachusetts Department of Child and Family Services appealed this decision. They did not launch an appeal. It went uncontested. And the following week, Adam takes Harmony from Massachusetts to New Hampshire to live with him and his wife, Kayla, and their other kids. And up to this point, Harmony, according to the record, according to what we have, Harmony has spent approximately 40 hours with her dad from birth to age 4.5.
Jeez.
Okay. And you just gave her to him.
Okay. Okay.
You just handed her over to
with
him.
No supervision, with no accountability.
With nothing. And let him leave the state with her. Oh, so this God. Is where the timeline starts to get very, very blurred, right? The government agency is not involved anymore. Right. So we don't have corroboration at all of what exactly happened. At the whole timeline up to this point is from government documents. Mm-hmm. It's their accounting for this case. But this is all, you know, decide what you want to believe. Easter of 2019, Crystal says that she FaceTimed with Harmony, and that is the last time she ever saw her daughter. So we were in Massachusetts before, right? Mm-hmm. Quinny's, now we're in New Hampshire. And just a few months later, New Hampshire CPS is knocking on the door of Adam Montgomery's fucking dwelling. Okay.
His dwelling, his cave dwelling.
His lair.
Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why they felt like they had to get involved.
Anonymous call, July of 2019, alleging abuse. Okay, so Department of Child and Family Services in New Hampshire now gets a phone call. The caller says that she observed Harmony with a black eye that her father caused. Okay, makes the allegation on the phone. CPS worker visits the home and states they observed no eye injury at all to Harmony. So they come back a week later, they interview Adam and Kayla, and they note that Harmony has a red mark on her eye and faded bruising under her eyelid. If you look at a picture of sweet Harmony Montgomery, I believe it's her left eye that's turned in. It's her right eye that's blind and it's her left eye that's turned in. So there's some debate about, could you possibly not notice an eye injury unless you looked very closely at the kid's eye because of her visual impairment? But I don't think that's
And how would the anonymous person have seen it close enough to
determine?
Exactly.
And like, if you're going to go over there, you're going to look closely.
Yeah.
Right. So no, I don't think that's what it was.
And I wonder which eye it was.
I know. Me
Not
too.
Not that it matters. It shouldn't me have happened too. Anyway, but I wonder.
And they obviously ask what happened to her eye. Adam says that she got the mark while playing with a toy.
Yeah. Okay. Adam.
With one of her siblings, because again, Quinny's, there's a bunch of kids in this equation, all surrounding Harmony Montgomery that are also involved in these terrible situations.
The trauma.
Okay. So CPS in New Hampshire calls Crystal and says, hey girl,
fun story.
And she says, oh, I lost custody of Harmony to Adam. How in the world is it possible that New Hampshire CPS doesn't already know that?
Yeah, the whole communicating with states thing.
It's not good.
It doesn't exist.
That's why it is so fucking dangerous that this judge let him leave the state, dude.
Yes.
Like they're not talking to each other.
And it's so scary because it not in this case, but it could literally be a town next to the border of one state and then the next town in the other state, like two towns next to each other, but they're technically a border and it would not matter.
Yeah.
It's like they're across the ocean. Like it doesn't matter.
Like these in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, they're not far from each other.
No,
like at all.
But that border changes everything.
And we see this in a lot of cases. We see this in so many cases where they're able to go to different states. They're able to go to different states and they're able to commit more and more murders and do more and more shit because the states aren't communicating.
So by October of 2019, CPS conducts what would be their final visit to the Montgomery household. They conclude their report and they say that the children appear happy and healthy. The report of abuse was unfounded, but they do say, this is a direct quote, the family was at high risk for future child welfare concerns. But we're just going to close it up, though. We're all set. We're just going to head out.
Yeah, just going to let it go. Let it go
It'll be fine.
So between November 28th and December 10th of 2019, do not know what day, Kayla Montgomery says Adam told her he was taking Harmony to live with her mother in Lowell, Massachusetts. And Kayla says this is the last time she saw Harmony.
Sketch.
I can't believe a word she says.
No.
Sketch Thank all you. Over it.
But thanks so anyway. Thank
and you. I really don't get too much into Kayla Montgomery. I fit her into the story, especially as it goes on, but I really don't get into all of the ways that she's lied, but she's a lying liar face who lies.
Yeah.
So just
100. Absolutely. 100.
Liar
face.
So January of 2020, DCF in New Hampshire receives a referral about the Montgomery household and CPS rolls up again. Okay, so they closed the report a couple months ago, and we already got another one.
What constitutes being able to close a report? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, what boxes need to be checked that we're definitely not going to be able to be checked in this particular case?
So we get another referral. CPS knocks on the door again. Oh, hello, Mr. Montgomery. It's nice to see you again. We were here 2 months ago. Where's Harmony? Adam says She's been living with her mother in Lowell, Massachusetts since Thanksgiving of 2019. CPS contacts Crystal again to confirm Harmony's current address. Crystal never responds to them. And then a year and a half passes, Quinnies.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand. I understand that a pandemic was happening at that time. That does not
still
mean
doesn't make any sense. This is not a Casey Anthony situation, right? Where she's where there's always an excuse, like, oh, right. She's at Disney or she's but with the Fanny. Babysitter. Like, no. Like, this is a full year and a half where not even just
no
CPS,
one cares.
No one is looking for this child. No one or is looking caring. Out for this child. These people have not seen this kid in 18 months, and no one is asking, hey, where's Harmony? In September of 2021, a friend of Crystal's contacts CCF herself and says, you know, Crystal hasn't seen Harmony since 2019. So not Crystal, a source close to Crystal.
I was just going to say, a friend, like just a friend?
Like what?
A friend calls?
Like, I don't understand. So DCF starts digging and sees that Harmony has never been registered in a school in New Hampshire. And so they immediately start looking for her.
Oh,
for the Montgomery family.
Oh, now you want to? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Okay, now you do. Okay.
And just a couple months later, Crystal gets around to calling the Manchester police and says she hasn't seen her daughter Harmony since Easter of 2019 via FaceTime.
I mean, I just, all I can think of is it's drugs.
Like, yeah, exactly. So drugs. I know, like, she's going through addiction. I understand. So she could be off the grid completely because she's just in the throes of the addiction.
Right. But it's just mind blowing.
Even take her out of the equation, all the other components of the story, like everybody else in this story is also failing. So they don't have that excuse.
Straight failing this child.
It still blows my mind that it's almost 2 years and you're just like, oh, come to think of it, where's my daughter?
Yeah. Well, she just thinks it's Adam, you know, playing games with her, but like you let it go on for that long.
Yeah. And she has said that she's afraid of him. So seriously, December of 2021, DCF contacts Manchester police too and says, we can't find Harmony and we can't find her family and you need to look for her dad. And they find him on New Year's Eve of 2021, living out of his car with a new girlfriend.
Oh, Casanova strikes again.
Straight Casanova. Shocker. Hey girl, you want to come over to my car and pop a bottle of cold duck for New Year's Eve? Like, give me a break.
And pop a Keystone in my car.
Pop a Keystone in my car.
Oh my God. New girlfriend.
Okay. I can't. He is described as uncooperative by the police. He's unwilling to answer questions about Harmony. And Kayla Montgomery is also interviewed in the same day, basically.
I mean, at least she got away from him.
She kind of did.
For a minute. Something tells me
that they're bound for life because of what they've done. But yes, she did. Agreed. She got away from him for a minute. Immediately following this, Manchester police holds their first press conference. They announce the search for Harmony Montgomery. We get a 24-hour tip line, which is included in the show notes of this episode. The number is 603-203-6060. The reward now sits at $150,000 for information relating to Harmony's disappearance. But again, Quinnies, December of 2021. And Crystal has not seen the child since Easter of 2019. What's the public going to do? What type of information is the public going to provide at this point?
You don't even have a current photograph, anything.
We don't even know when she went missing.
Exactly.
It's shocking to me.
And the FBI gets involved. They conduct a 2-day search of the former Montgomery household. They excavate the backyard. They find absolutely nothing. Even though they found nothing, Adam Montgomery was arrested on January 4th. He was charged with second degree assault, interference with custody, and endangering the welfare of a child.
With Harmony. Okay.
And 2 days later, Kayla Montgomery is arrested, charged with felony welfare fraud, which is later dropped. And then she's recharged as felony theft. And we have to stop here real quick, Quinnies, because I don't have any evidence to back this up right now at this time. Okay. This is my pure conjecture, but if these people were collecting government benefits for this little girl this entire time,
which we have see so
to
much.
Think yep. about Jalique Rainwalker. We have to think about Tylee and JJ Vallo. We have to think about the countless other kids that are exploited for government funds. If that's what they were, if they did that, we all know exactly what happened here. We've seen it before. This is exactly what happens. So you remember Adam's new girlfriend, the one that he was popping keystones with in the back of the car?
Okay,
New Year's Eve.
Popping her name bottles was like a
popping keystone like this.
Popping keystones. So, all right. Popping keystones with this girl, right? Her name was Kelsey Small, and she was found dead in Manchester.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wrinkle in the story.
I was thinking Crystal Kayla Kelsey. Like, here we go. Like, no.
Crystal Kayla, he has a type.
He has
Carly,
a type.
And Katie. Quinny is That's not good. You better stay away from the keystone. Kelsey Small. Dead? Yes, she was found dead in Manchester on March 13th of this year, 2022.
But it was considered unsuspicious, right?
Sure. And we all know how we really trust all the determinations that are made in this department. But they don't consider her death suspicious at all, which makes me think it's a drug overdose. But I don't know
Seemingly.
So then April 4th, Adam gets hit with a couple of new charges. Okay. Charges include theft by unauthorized taking for allegedly stealing a rifle and shotgun, two charges of receiving stolen property or allegedly receiving or retaining the rifle and the shotgun, two charges of felon in possession for allegedly possessing a rifle and a shotgun after having been convicted of one or more qualifying felonies, and two charges of armed career criminal for allegedly possessing the rifle and the shotgun after having been convicted of three or more qualifying felonies.
Wow.
Investigators say all of these thefts occurred between September 29th and October 3rd of 2019 in Manchester, New Hampshire. So wait a minute, Quinny's. Prior felonies?
What?
Does Adam Montgomery have a shockingly violent criminal past?
And he's just cleared to have full custody of his child? Just
leave the state with her? No problem?
No. Okay.
No supervision of any kind?
That can't be real.
Okay. More deep breaths. Inner deep breathing. Okay?
Breathe out.
This is the criminal background of Adam Montgomery, the man who, total lack of verifiable information, was just handed a child by the family court system of Massachusetts. At ages 12, 14, and 16, he is involved in juvenile criminal cases that are sealed from the record because of his age, because he was a minor. But when he turned 18, he broke into an apartment and demanded money from two women at gunpoint. Officers successfully detained him and his associate, but only after Adam pointed a gun at the officers themselves. So he's already into extremely dangerous territory. The gun wasn't even real. It was a pellet gun, but this is his first felony, right? Armed robbery and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. In 2014, he shot a man in the face during a drug deal.
The man
lived and said that Adam tried to buy 3 grams of heroin from him. And when he pulled the drugs out, he pulled out a gun, attempted to rob him. There was a struggle and the man was shot in the face. Wow. Adam fled and was later picked up by the fucking U.S. Marshals because he violated his probation in the first felony. And he had the gun with him. The weapon that shot the man. He had it on him when the marshals picked him up.
I mean, we knew he was smart. We've known this.
So he pled guilty, okay, to all of these charges, almost all of these charges, okay? Sentenced to 18 months suspended to be served concurrently with the other offenses. That's not a long time. So this man, right, violent offender, serious criminal past, given full custody of his child without strings, okay?
I'm sorry, the 18 months, that was when Harmony was born.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes. Which is not a whole lot of time. And quite frankly, if they had sentenced him harsher in the first place, this very likely would never have happened because he would still be in prison throughout this whole window.
And men marijuana charges have longer sentences than that.
Exactly. And I'm not a stiffer sentences person. Like as a person, I'm not an advocate of that, but here, just knowing what he goes on to do. You know, it gets even worse because it's around this time that we learn that it's not just DCF who's being notified of problems while Harmony is in New Hampshire. Manchester police have a huge file, multiple reports of domestic disturbances, animal welfare concerns, Quinnies, and unsanitary living conditions, saying the home was filled with trash and lacked electricity. Does this shit sound fucking familiar? This is Jaleek.
It is.
This is all of these kids that are that the government is giving their parents money for, and they're denied access to basics, electricity, not having your house filled with trash. Like,
don't you be messing with the dogs. Don't
leave the dogs alone. I cannot find out what it was.
Don't.
But I was like,
don't.
Oh, hell to the no.
Sometimes too, in custody cases, people can't get custody of their kid because they have an animal abuse charge. They take them they take them together. Like it is very likely. Like it is very likely that if you're doing that to a defenseless animal, you could probably hurt a child. That's how the court looks at it. And he had this and nothing.
Yeah.
I can't
everyone blind to it. It's crazy.
So the police say that officers 10 times in the previous year were called to the residence. And during this time, we have family members of Adam Montgomery come out and say that he told his family that he had given Harmony that black eye, that CPS was there to investigate. He had admitted to striking his daughter all throughout this police activity. So he's admitting to his family that he is beating this kid.
And not only that, when he's telling, according to the family member, he's doing it flippantly. He's not just like, oh yeah, you know, I got a little carried away. He's like, yeah, I beat her around the apartment. And like, he does not give a shit about literally anyone.
No remorse whatsoever. So this is all stuff that we did not know, you know, until after he was arrested. And then we find out that he was prosecuted in 2021 before all of this for fucking stalking Kayla. Okay. They found him with a knife in her yard. Okay. And she has three children inside.
Just some light stalking. It's fine.
Given a 1-year sentence that was suspended for 2 years and ordered to undergo mental health counseling. What the fuck does that even mean?
Why would it need to be suspended? Why?
And then Crystal, she's still chatting us up. She says that Adam choked her when she was pregnant with Harmony. Crystal. Okay. Totally understand. Addicted to drugs, right? Like
abusive relationship.
Absolutely. Like, totally understand. That type of information is useful when he is trying to get custody of the child. Yeah.
Like, you could have said that a little earlier,
a long time ago.
Let's get crazy. Not put his name on the birth certificate. He wasn't even there.
If he choked you
while pregnant, he did not just do nothing the entire time, choke you one day, and then do nothing ever again. You know that for a fact. Yep. You could have just not put his name there. Like, no father. Name Santa Claus. I don't give a shit. Like, no, he did not need to be named. Granted, again, it's not only her fault.
No.
DCFS have completely failed, but.
Yes. So many things. You're just like, for the love of God, what
are we doing?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. It really is.
Whew. So this past month, June 14th, the FBI searched an apartment where Adam and Kayla had lived for a short time, and they brought out a refrigerator, and a bunch of other unidentified items. No. And there was also a sewer plumbing team there as well.
No.
So as of today, July of 2022, Harmony Montgomery remains missing. Both Massachusetts and New Hampshire have released reports from the Office of the Child Advocate after conducting official investigations into the handlings of this case. I will link both of these reports in the show notes. They are readily available online. They are eye-opening. Both of them acknowledge total systemic failures in the state child services. And in Harmony's case, the family assessment and action plans and goals were incomplete from the start because they centered on Crystal and placed almost no emphasis on Adam. And that happens sometimes if there's only one parent in the child's life. But for poor little Harmony, it let Adam off the hook completely because he was never scrutinized. He barely appeared. There was no information. So there was nothing there. There was no information. Therefore, there was nothing bad because they were looking at Crystal and able to say she's not sober because we're watching her. Right. But they were never watching him.
And they should have been watching him all fucking along, all
the whole time. And in Massachusetts in particular, the Office of the Child Advocate found that Harmony's individual medical needs were not central to any of her reunification goals with Crystal or Adam, and the delay in achieving permanency negatively impacted Harmony's well-being. That's how they put it. Probably will never know how much. So Harmony's case has brought nationwide attention and scrutiny to state-level foster care systems. And it also highlighted the case of David Almond. Did you see this, Quinnies? Oh my God. Oh my God. If this didn't ruin your day and you just want to go one step further, David Almond was a 14-year-old autistic child found emaciated, bruised, and unresponsive in his home. And he was soon pronounced dead. And his father and his stepmother are now facing homicide charges because the home was in deplorable condition and fentanyl was found on the premises.
Jesus.
I can't.
So his information and his OCA victim report will also be in the show notes. Okay. This is not a one-time thing. It's so bad. So bad. But by covering Harmony, cases like his are now much more public. People are coming talking
to the
about them.
Coming to the surface. Yeah.
And that was Massachusetts as well. And so finally, you know, we always like to talk about the victim here, and we know very little about Harmony Montgomery, the person. But what we do know is that as a toddler, she defied expectations related to her visual impairment. Her vision grew stronger. She was blind in her right eye, but she developed like very unique coping mechanisms to get around and walk on her own and find her way. She easily overcame challenges. She loved books, dolls, and she loved playtime. She is described as charming, very active, great language skills, high degree of empathy, and she loved food. Like opposite of a picky eater is what it says. Like loved food. And one report has her foster family saying that they had a vegetable garden and she had never been in one or knew what one was. So they put her in it and she just picked vegetables off the vine and was just eating them. Ooh. So she pulled a full cucumber off the thing and just bit into it. And the cherry tomato, she was just
thing is just, it's so cute. Like, oh good, she's not a picky eater. That's so cute. But also it's because she didn't have regular food.
It's awful.
Wow. I know. And they point that out as the cutest story. And I'm she never had food. So she was just taking whatever she could get. So sad.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is.
Okay. So Manchester police continue to request that anyone with information, please call or text the 24-hour tip line 603-203-6060. In particular, anyone who saw or interacted with Adam Montgomery, Kayla Montgomery, or any of their children during the time frame of approximately November 28th to December 10th of 2019, or who saw either of the vehicles in question, which I'll put the vehicle descriptions in the show notes as well. Any information, no matter how small or significant, may contribute to the overall investigation. So again, $150,000 reward. The phone number is 603-203-6060. Quinnies, what the fuck? Quinnies.
Oh my God.
The system, the parents, an innocent child. It's like it's not a fun mixture of elements by any means.
Just obviously everyone's failed her. We talked about that. And the reports acknowledging that everyone has failed, okay, thank you.
Great.
But too little too late. Too late. Yep. Cause she hasn't been seen in forever. And we all come on. This is not an excuse, but it is a little bit of a look into the Child Protective Services career and what they deal with in general. In 2019 alone, in Massachusetts, roughly each of the like 238 child protective social workers, right, or child social workers, whatever they're called, each had 200 cases that they were working on at one time in the year of 2019.
Okay? Yeah, that's outrageous.
That's outrageous. So they're working at least 80 hours a week. There's no way to keep up on everybody and everything in an efficient
it's not
manner.
Possible.
There's no way. There's no way. So like that technically isn't their fault. They need to have more and they need to have less on their own plate. And there right, needs to be a different protocol.
Right. But that it doesn't make it less infuriating.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't make it right that this poor girl gets dropped Carly. Through the lines. You know what
that's,
I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
That's important that you bring that up because when I express my disdain for this agency, I really do mean the agency. It's really not the people who are doing the day to day.
Right.
It is the mission overall. Of the agency that is at fault here. It's not being, if people have 200 plus cases, it's not being run properly.
Exactly.
It's not being right. funded like, what properly. Are you
like also,
it's the agency itself that's failing.
It's really telling Definitely. That in 2019 alone, there was a turnover of 69.2%
Holy
of those
shit.
Social workers. Quit their job and completely were not in any position similar. Okay, so what does that tell you? Something is wrong with the management,
with the system,
the protocol, yeah. with the system. In any career, in any job,
it's that unheard
is
of.
Unheard of turnover. That is insane. Yep. They're not getting what they need, and therefore the children aren't getting what they need. Also, the fact that Harmony's younger brother, the one that Crystal had the hearing about the same day that she couldn't go to,
yes,
who would end up getting adopted by these two lovely gay men, they contacted DCFS numerous times throughout that time, their process adopting the brother to try to get Harmony as well, because they would have loved to have her because they knew she was in and out and all around, mm-hmm. and they would have loved to have the siblings together. From all intents and purposes, the brother is living a wonderfully loved life.
Oh my God.
And she
that's
could have been
news.
Living with the brother. Okay. Which is just super sad, even more so for Harmony, but at least he is
all right.
He's thriving. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like they even went on, like, I think it was the Today Show or Good Morning America or something, asking for help in Harmony's case. Like they're not related to her in any way.
Yeah. Of course, but they're advocating. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Just because they have the brother. You know what I mean? Like that is just sweet and heartbreaking at the same time.
It is. Yeah.
Also, the Carfax theory. I don't know all the details, but one of Adam's cars, I don't know which car or whatever, but December 2nd, 2019. So right within that November 28th to December 10th timeframe, according to Carfax later on, that report states that on December 2nd, there was a vehicle accident of some kind and there was damage to the left side of the car. And then the next day, December 3rd, there was another report that there was damage on the left front side and inside of the car.
But we don't know by what.
We don't know by what. Huh. We don't know if nothing was ever looked into or what the circumstances were. It could be nothing. The time frame is too perfect. Mm-hmm. And some people think like maybe there was a quote unquote accident or a on purpose accident. Either Harmony died in the accident or it was a means to get rid of her. Or if there was a neglect situation and she was accidentally run over or something and Adam hid the fact that she was involved so he wouldn't get prosecuted for it.
Yeah. Like what the fuck happened? What the fuck went down on that night?
This whole time, I'm listening to this story and we're talking about it. I'm like, damn, this sounds eerily familiar. Like, I know we cover a lot of cases like this often, but it sounds eerily familiar. Oh, why? Because it's literally Oakley Carlson's story.
Yes,
it's
with the house fire. Wow. Okay. And where was that, Carly?
That was in Washington.
In Washington.
So it was across the country. But I mean, in and out of foster care, in by the mm-hmm. with the mom, with the parents of the not.
It's the school principal that's checking in on them. Yes. Oh
it's
my
exactly
God.
Exactly that story. How is this happening? How is this happening?
And then all a couple weeks ago, we're all breathing sighs of relief because we're covering Summer Wells and her brothers are all taken and put into the system.
Yeah.
And we're all going, well, at least they're not in an unsafe environment. And
but
now
then
you
see
look at
this
and you're like, wow, the whole thing is
all of it
a mess.
All it's of it mess. Is a mess.
And I will say, and I know it's controversial in light of this recent Supreme Court ruling, this crisis will continue and will multiply, and there will just be more and more and more kids who are born into homes where they cannot survive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't care what, I honestly don't really care what your beliefs are on it. That's the true impact that it will have. So
it is.
Exactly. More kids means more kids in foster care.
Yep.
And more kids subject to this change in the goal. And, oh, we think you should be adopted. No, we think, how?
Or just not having enough food.
Period. Like a volleyball. Just like I said, like a volleyball, like she's like literally a ball in a sport mm-hmm. that you play.
Like, what is the point of having the government service come in and take custody and have a care and protection order by the judge that says the government has to care for you and protect you? Also that some other judge can just go, no, never mind. Like, I feel like that should be a state court of appeals decision, like a 9 justices decision, or I don't think it's appropriate for one judge to be able to do that. That's not okay.
Same.
Like a care and protection order is, that's all the kids got. As soon as they took that away, she could not survive.
And Adam, like, let's just talk about Adam for a second. Like, like
ladies,
Adam.
ladies, go look up a picture of Adam Montgomery right
Casanova.
Now.
Okay. Bad. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's bad.
Casanova in the back of a Chevy Nova. The audacity, like
the audacity.
The behavior and like
from the beginning,
like I just find it so hard to believe that in that hearing or with his attorney, he's in any way charming or in any way
there
redeemable.
There were rampant red flags everywhere, blatantly obvious
from the beginning.
For everyone there.
Yep.
Like, come on.
But any of our social workers out there, if you can please tell me what inappropriate responses given her age means in social worker speak, I would really
that
like
would
to
be
know
great.
And the level really like of which it would need to occur in order for that to be reported so many times,
multiple times.
Right. Like I need to know the level here.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right,
so what do we think happened, Quinnies?
I mean, like I just want so badly to, you want and want to hope that she's alive, but I just don't know, Quinnies.
I would love for that to be the case,
but it's just not looking that way.
She's too young and the visual impairment and all of it. She's,
and he has a violent history.
I cannot believe that was not taken into consideration at all. I just can't believe it. And I really am all for prison reform, alternative therapies and
definitely
actually rehabilitating people.
Right.
But like, you don't get to just take a kid that you don't know over state lines.
It's blood boiling.
It is.
So
also, if anyone knows the judge, just let me know.
Oh yeah. Slide that one right into the old DM.
Okay. Slide it in my DM.
Slide it right into the old DM. And thank you so much, Gabrielle. I'm happy we're sharing the story, but damn, you know?
Well, yeah. Damn.
We hear horror stories about foster parents. In stories like this, they are the true heroes of the situation.
Exactly.
Like you know that the happiest moments of that kid's life were in foster care. What if they just never changed the goal? I just keep thinking about that. What if they just said adoption, adoption, adoption the whole way through?
Yeah, she could have gotten her whole life back.
I can't take it. Listen to Straight Up Evil.